Welcome to the SDC Daily Podcast. This term we're looking at Matthew's Gospel. If this podcast encourages you, why not pass on the link?
Welcome to Wednesday's podcast. Our reading today is Matthew chapter 2, verses 13 to 23, but today we'll focus on verse 16. When Herod realised that he'd been outwitted by the Magi, he was furious, and he gave orders to kill all the boys in Bethlehem and its vicinity who were 2 years old and under, in accordance with the time learned from the Magi. Thought for the day. During 2020, we've seen how COVID-19 has spread across the planet and is changing the way we live. We're now in the middle of the new normal. We've also lived through some of the worst racial tensions since the civil rights movement started in the United States. And to top it off, we're also living through some really interesting political times. The main Russian opposition leader is lying in a German hospital after being poisoned by Novichok. And will the US President Donald Trump secure another 4 years? Who knows? And what will become of Brexit? Now, in the early part of Matthew's Gospel, we meet King Herod. Picking up the point I made yesterday, he often has a bit of a lesser role at any of the school nativities you've ever been to. But if you're familiar with the traditional Christmas Bible readings, you'll recognise his name. His presence in the story serves to remind us that Jesus' birth was into not only a racially divided society that we talked about yesterday, but also a nation under occupation, of political corruption and tyrannical leadership. Herod was a political genius. He was of mixed race descent. His mother was an Arab and his father was an Idumean who practiced Judaism. Through a kind of clever marriages and political deals and just downright genius, he secured himself as the power broker between the occupying forces of Rome and the Jewish people and others living in Palestine. He made huge amounts of money for himself and those he ruled over. His infrastructure projects were legendary, nothing on HS2. But there was a darker side. He became increasingly violent and ruthless. He was a divisive character and became more brutal, particularly towards the end of his life. He murdered most of his family and before his death ordered that a whole town might be murdered so that there would be mourning after his death. It seems to me that right now politics is really divisive. The US elections, Biden versus Trump, or even our own country, the disagreements over how to respond to COVID or what to do about Brexit. And there's lessons for us here about where we place our faith. Herod used his religious expression to curry favour with the Jewish people. He had his own agenda. And the religious people, on the other hand, they couldn't stand Herod. He wasn't even a proper Jew, but they used him too because he gave them a voice. He kept them in power. It was a compromise. Both people, Herod and the religious leaders, wanted power. So what caused it? Well, there's many reasons, but one is probably insecurity, a sense of threat. As Herod begins to lose power, he becomes increasingly more controlling. And as the Jewish leaders felt threatened by losing their power to Rome, they reached out to Herod. It was a terrible, toxic cocktail. And here's the biggest deal. Jesus turns this power-hungry religious establishment and this kind of faux monarch on its head. By the time the Magi visit Jesus, he was in reality probably a toddler. And Herod was so threatened that he ordered the mass murder of a whole village and the surrounding area. And at Jesus, at his very tender young age, around the time he's a toddler, becomes a political refugee and escapes with his family to Egypt. Just let that sink in for a moment. If you're watching US politics right now, it feels a bit ugly. It certainly does to me. The truth is that the human heart hasn't changed over the generations. But these passages remind us that it's precisely this world that Jesus embraces. And he steps right into the middle of it, walking in the totally opposite spirit. From the moment of his early childhood, he'll threaten people and they'll look for ways to silence him. Herod started that. The escape to Egypt is God's way of reversing Israel's wilderness years. It's subtle and it's easily missed, but it points to a much bigger picture. It's saying Jesus is going to rescue his people through the events of the cross and the resurrection. It's tempting to step back from the news sometimes. I mean, just what do? We can't change what happens in the US elections, and Brexit is already in motion, and we can't do anything about people like Vladimir Putin. We can't change that stuff. But if we're to remain hopeful in the small stuff, to be a positive witness in the midst of the gloom, there's a few things we can do. We can temper the stories we ingest. Honestly, turn off the news. Or if you are, read it in the context that, as the song we often sing goes, he reigns above it all. The story played out in the media isn't the final story. God is working his purposes. We might not see it right now, but when we feel threatened, we're to return to the scriptures, to the familiar stories of Jesus, even Christmas stories, and see that in all of them, there is hope and there is promise. And they point to and remind us that that little baby grows up and he takes on the principalities and powers and he is victorious. And that's what we have to hold on to. And honestly, we're not to stop praying for our political leaders. The Bible's clear on that. It's not optional whether you agree with them or not. We're called to pray. So let's pray together now. Father, we pray because we do affirm that you reign above it all. Father, I pray that you will bring us hope as we pray for the world around us, that you are working your purposes. And even sometimes when it's hard to see, we trust because you've done it before. You are faithful and you never change. Amen. Matthew chapter 2, verses 13 to 23. When they had gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. Get up, he said, take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt. Stay there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child to kill him. So he got up, took the child and his mother during the night and left for Egypt, where he stayed until the death of Herod. And so was fulfilled what the Lord had said through the prophet, out of Egypt I called my son. When Herod realized that he'd been outwitted by the Magi, he was furious, and he gave orders to kill all the boys in Bethlehem and its vicinity who were 2 years old and under, in accordance with the time that he'd learned from the Magi. When what was said through the prophet Jeremiah was fulfilled, a voice was heard in Ramah, weeping and great mourning. Rachel weeping for her children and refusing to be comforted because they are no more. After Herod died, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt and said, get up, take the child and his mother and go to the land of Israel, for those who were trying to take the child's life are dead. So he got up, took the child and his mother and went to the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus was reigning in Judea in place of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. Having been warned in a dream, he withdrew to the district of Galilee, and he went and lived in a town called Nazareth. So was fulfilled what was said through the prophets, that he would be called a Nazarene.
Every song we could ever sing, worthy of all the praise we could ever bring, worthy of every breath we could ever breathe, we live for you. Jesus, the name above every other name, Jesus, the only one who could ever save. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe, we live for you. Oh, we live for you. Holy, there is no one like you. There is none beside you. Jesus, the only one who could ever save. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe.